Certain portions of what you're about to hear have been dramatized based on real-life events, eyewitness accounts, and court records. For 2 years straight, I'm helping Mayor Smith battle her wealthy and hateful Irish family for millions in inheritance that's rightfully hers.
Why do you think she did have this inheritance coming?
And my buddy, fellow reality TV producer Evan Goldstein, witnesses my whole crusade from day one.
Well, she had a ton of evidence, or what I took for evidence. She would show me emails from her barristers, which are lawyers in Ireland.
Oh, she had like paperwork she'd show you.
Well, emails.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, still, there's like a paper trail. It's not just her telling you.
Exactly.
By the beginning of 2017, I loaned Mayor almost $70,000 to help clear a legal path to claiming her share of a 25 million euro inheritance, the equivalent of nearly 30 million US dollars. At this point, I know Mayor for almost 4 years. Then suddenly, one day, out of the blue, she's arrested for the second time.
I know exactly what's happening. She's being screwed over by her Irish family.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. But in this town, looks are deceiving. I'm Jonathan Walton, and this is Queen of the Con. Episode 3, The Real Mayor. It's February 2017. Mayor Smith is sitting in Los Angeles County Jail again. This time, though, she tells me goodbye, and she meets with authorities to turn herself in. Mayor says she's serving a 30-day jail sentence for the most bizarre reason I've ever heard. Inadvertent money laundering.
Hey, man. Dude, you are not going to believe this shit.
Shortly after Mayor explains it to me, I call up Evan and tell him what happened.
So the judge in the Pacific Islands case is furious at Mayor because I let her charge my credit cards $54,000 to pay the court fees, and he considers that money laundering.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and he's punishing her with a 30-day jail sentence. Her family is behind this, man. They're not going to make it easy for her to get her $6.5 million. That's her share of the inheritance. So Mayor tells me it's a slap on the wrist from the judge. It's not a felony, so she's still eligible to get the inheritance. So it's okay. 30 days in jail.
While Mayor is sitting in jail for 30 days, a couple weeks go by, and I do what any family member would do. I schedule a visit. I log on to the LA County Sheriff's website. I enter her name and date of birth, and then bam, it brings up the location of the jail with a link to the jail's scheduling website, showing the days and times I can choose to visit her. It also brings up something else, something really disturbing. It brings up the reason she's in jail. Felony grand theft. There it is on the sheriff's website, plain as day. It says she's in jail for felony grand theft. Suddenly, I couldn't breathe. Mayor told me she's serving 30 days in jail as a slap on the wrist because the judge is mad at her for charging my credit cards to pay her $54,000 court fee. She swears it's not a felony, much less grand theft.
Hey, dude, I gotta leave. Will you cover for me?
Yeah, what's up?
I'm producing a show called Booze Traveler for the Travel Channel in 2017 when I find all this out, and my buddy Evan is the show's co-executive producer.
I can't explain that, but it's kind of an emergency. I gotta go.
Is everything okay?
I don't know. I don't know. I'll call you later.
I get in my car and hightail it down to the Los Angeles courthouse where that Pacific Islands case against Mayor is being prosecuted.
And records are on the first floor.
First floor, one call.
I ask the criminal clerk to pull all the records for the People versus Marianne Smith, case number SA087840.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
You know the expression, lies are like rats? When you find one, it means there are 1,000 others hiding. Sifting through the pages and pages of court records, my hands start trembling, because I'm finding rat after rat after rat. Mare is lying to me about everything regarding this case.
Nothing she said about the Pacific Islands case was true. She lied about everything, man. Everything. No one froze her bank accounts. That was a lie. The $54,000 that I let her charge my credit cards was really to pay a $40,000 restitution guilty plea agreement.
Oh my God.
I guess she just kept the extra $14,000 for herself as like scam money.
Jesus, dude.
She's a fucking criminal, man. She pled guilty to stealing $200,000 from Pacific Islands.
Oh, she pled guilty for that?
Yes. Yes. She was taking customers' vacation payments into her personal PayPal account for like 2 years, and they caught her red-handed.
Jesus Christ.
She scammed me, dude. She fucking scammed me.
I go home and collapse in my husband's arms. I'm not crying. I'm wailing as the reality of what happened washes over me like a slow-moving hurricane. How could I have let this woman scam me out of $70,000? It's so unreal. I don't even feel like I'm in my own body. The next day, still a mess, but trying to function, I call up the district attorney's office and I explain to them that Mayor scammed me to get the money to pay her $40,000 guilty plea agreement. They say, sorry, there's nothing they can do. That case against Mayor is already adjudicated. Welcome to the criminal justice system.
This is so fucked, Jonathan.
I know.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, I want my fucking money back.
Do you even think her inheritance is real?
You know, if it is, it doesn't matter because she's disqualified from getting it anyway because she's convicted of a felony. I got to try to contact her family in Ireland.
Are you going to go to the police?
I don't know. I just want my money back, you know? She gets out of jail in 2 weeks, so I'm going to pick her up and confront her about it. Maybe she'll confess. I want to see what she says.
Somehow, those 2 weeks fly by in what feels like 2 days. Mare is released from jail. She calls and asks if I can pick her up and take her to where her car is parked. So I drive down to the LA County Women's Jail in Linwood, and there she is, standing on the sidewalk out front. She looks gaunt and pale.
It feels weird.
To be free?
Yeah, I had to walk outside today to get to the bus and from downtown to Linwood, and it was like my eyes were hurting. It was so bright. I'm like, what the hell is all of that?
During the drive home, I'm playing it cool. I can't let her know that I know she tricked me out of $70,000. I'm just pretending everything's A-okay as I hit the record button in voice memos on my iPhone.
14.
Yeah.
She's crazy.
We're talking about our neighbor Sherry. Before I hit record, Mare tells me Sherry, the strip club manager, called her 14 times while she was in jail, and that Sherry personally knows a lot of the inmates she was serving time with. I had already been keeping my distance from Sherry since Mare told me years ago Sherry was wanted for murder in Canada, and she's hiding out in our Los Angeles apartment building. And now, after serving 30 days with some of Sherry's criminal cronies, Mare wants nothing to do with her.
I am done. Like I said, D-O-N-E.
But I'm still playing it cool, like things are fine, as we head north on the 110 freeway into downtown Los Angeles.
In a half mile, destination is on the right.
I mean, I'm fuming inside, thinking about all the money she scammed me out of, but sitting right next to me, she has no idea my head is ready to explode. All that theater I did in college is finally getting put to good use. as we pull into the parking garage where her car is.
Right over there.
Dude, I'll drive in. Just because it's only, they don't charge for like 2 minutes.
Mare doesn't want me to take a ticket and drive in because she doesn't want me to get charged for parking. Ironic, isn't it? She wants to save me $20 for parking after conning me out of 70 grand. She's a real fucking giver. So I pull in, quickly park, and carry a box of Mare's things she asked me to keep an eye on while she was in jail to her car. I unfold a piece of paper I had written some stuff down on to prep for this moment.
Okay. So, unpleasant stuff.
Okay.
You've been lying to us the whole time about everything.
About what?
Your plea was 40,000, not 54,000.
That's not true, though.
At the court record.
Okay.
No one waived your right to a jury trial. Jury trial was scheduled the whole time. That was a lie. That last $4,000 you needed that came out of nowhere, that was a lie. You gave three checks, one for 33, one for three. You needed a check for four. You've been scamming us out of money this whole time.
I have not, darling.
You have.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not gonna, you're okay. Busted.
Okay.
So from here on in, we're not friends.
Okay.
So I only want to see you or hear from you when you have a payment for us.
Okay.
Until this money is paid off.
Okay.
You're busted. Good luck.
As I drive out of that parking garage, I'm so angry I can't see straight. I wanted her to admit she lied to me to get the money, but she wouldn't. And what's weird is, she seems so believable. Her eyes filled with tears at one point. I really wasn't sure what to do next. I come home and play the recording of me and Mare for my husband and for my buddy Evan.
I remember, I think I called you obsessively because I was scared, because you're like, okay, I'm going. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, who knows? It could go any way.
We were sitting literally right where we're sitting now in my barbecue area. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Or do you drink too much? You don't have a good memory for these things.
It's all that strong Irish whiskey.
We were sitting literally right over there when I brought the recording back and played it for you.
Because I was desperate to hear what happened. And, well, first, I was glad that you came back.
Thank you.
And second, I remember hearing it and thinking, like, how do you start a conversation like this? You know, you're picking her up from jail, confronting her that you stole almost $100,000. How do you get there? You know, how do you start? And I remember hearing your voice. You were very, I don't know if hesitant's the word, but you had a tone of voice that was very, not your normal talking voice, not like us talking now. It was like, so it almost sounded hesitant at first. And you're like, I know, and this is from memory, I know everything, you're lying.
And tears, like, filled her eyes immediately.
And oh, really?
Oh, she's a crier. Dude, she could give Demi Moore a run for her fucking money. She could cry. Did she ever cry in front of you?
No.
Oh, she cried in front of me all the time, well, to get money. So at that point, when tears filled her eyes, in my mind, I'm like, those are fucking fake tears. I know that now. That's not real.
As the days pass, I play that confrontation over and over again in my head and on my phone.
You've been scamming us out of money this whole time.
I have not, darling.
You have.
Okay.
Her complete lack of remorse, every time I hear it,
at the court record,
infuriates me more and more. She never even apologizes. And you know why she never apologizes? Because she's not sorry. She's not fucking sorry at all. And when that suddenly dawns on me, I realize she's never going to pay me back. So I go to police the next day and explain what happened.
But you gave her the money. It's not a crime.
Yep, that's what I have to deal with. It's the reason most scam victims never go to police in the first place. The cop is so sure that no crime has occurred because I willingly gave Mayor all that money, he doesn't want to even take a police report. He fights me on it.
But she lied to get the money. Isn't that a crime? I mean, it's no different than those scammers who say they're calling from the IRS and trick the elderly into sending the money. That's a crime.
Listen, I'll take a report, but I don't think there's much we can do.
So I give the police officer a detailed timeline listing all the amounts of money Mayor tricked me out of over the course of our four-year friendship. $5,800 here, $3,200 there, $4,000 over here. I also hand him pages and pages of bank records, text messages, and emails that prove she lied to me to get that money. His demeanor suddenly changes. Now he seems impressed that I'm so anal retentively organized. It's the TV producer in me. The cop then leans in and offers me the most profound and life-changing advice I'll ever receive from anyone in law enforcement.
Look, you gotta call every day.
What do you mean?
Every time you call about your case, it's taken from the bottom of the pile of new cases and placed on top. The more times you call, the more likely it'll be assigned to an investigator.
Oh, okay.
That's what you want. You want it assigned to an investigator.
Okay, all right. I'll call every day, man. Thank you so much.
I go home. And for the next week, I call about my case every day. Every single day.
You've reached the Los Angeles Police Department Central Division. We're sorry we can't take your call at this time. Please leave your name.
Big surprise. My case is not getting assigned to an investigator. It's just sitting there, in limbo, maybe forever.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Walton. I'm trying to check the status of the police report I filed. It's incident number 170-319-003617. Give me a call back.
So after 3 weeks of getting nowhere, I flip the script and I start my own investigation. My TV producing skills kick in and I begin treating this whole thing like prepping one big reality show for air. I pay to sign up for a bunch of criminal databases. Then I sneak into a local law school library and use their LexisNexis system to do multiple background checks. I then hire 6 different private detectives in the various cities where my research shows Mayor has a history. And I very quickly uncover that Mayor Smith is not from Ireland at all.
Your perp is American. She was born in Bangor, Maine in 1969.
There is no Irish family. There is no inheritance.
She's actually being sued by a bunch of people all over Los Angeles.
Hey, we're showing several felony charges for fraud, grand theft, and passing bad checks through multiple states. I mean, this woman really is a piece of work.
I share Mayor's criminal past with everyone I know who knows Mayor, but getting through to them isn't easy.
I couldn't have communication with you. I was told specifically, if you talk to Jonathan, you cannot be my friend.
Remember my neighbor, Sherry Cooper, who Mayor and I talk about in the car? The one Mayor claimed is wanted for murder? After I confront Mayor for scamming me, she tells Sherry not to talk to me. She convinces Sherry to block my phone number and block me on Facebook.
She made you out to be kind of like just not quite stable. Just don't talk to him, leave him alone.
And remember, for the past 4 years, Mayor never wanted me talking to Sherry either.
She told me that you guys had murdered someone in Canada and you were hiding out in LA. You were on the run from police in Canada hiding out.
That's a good one. I wished I was that interesting.
I was legit scared of you.
I quickly figure out the reason Mayor doesn't want me and Sherry talking to each other. Because while Mayor is scamming me out of thousands of dollars, she's also scamming Sherry out of thousands of dollars too, using a different story.
She essentially scammed you by telling you a lie about me.
Mayor tells Sherry that she desperately needs $5,000 to pay me back for bailing her out of jail. She makes it seem like I'm broke and I'm having a mental breakdown because I don't have my money. Sherry has no idea the politician already paid me back the very next day. And since Sherry and I aren't talking, remember, I think she's a murderer and she thinks I'm crazy, we both avoid each other like the plague. So Mayor scams Sherry out of $5,000 under the guise of paying me back. And her husband, Andre, has no idea.
I never asked him when I lent her the money.
You, like, did it in secret?
No, not a secret. That's my money. My accounts are my accounts.
Right.
His accounts are his accounts.
Yeah, we're the same way.
I went and I took my money, and she was crying that you were whining at her because you didn't have your money. I'm like, here you go. That was $5,000 even. And she was like, wow, thanks so much. And she goes, I'll get it back to you, you know, in the next couple of days, as soon as the politician pays, John. And it never happened.
Right. No, well, it did happen. That's right. The thing. The politician paid me back the next day.
Wow.
But she invented that story that I was desperate for money, I was desperate to be paid
right.
back, and I couldn't make my rent, and yada,
right.
yada, yada.
Right.
But the politician gave me cash, literally the next day.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was crucial for her to scam me, because I had confidence in loaning her more money, because she paid me right. back the next day. That was the first money I loaned her, and she paid me back the next day.
Wow.
So I never, when she came for more money, I had no doubt. Like, sure. Like, I trust you.
Right.
Like, you're good, you're a woman of your word, you know. And that is not a singular thing. In every con, you always see a little bit of your money first back.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's an investment con, any kind of con, they let you, they call it wetting your beak. You get to wet your beak a little.
Oh, wow.
And looking back, I wouldn't have given her any money if she never paid me back that $4,200 the next
right.
day. Like, because I'd think, well, you already owe me $4,200. When am I going to get that back? But
okay.
because she demonstrated she could pay me back the next day, I'm like, oh, I feel comfortable loaning
her. She said her and the politician had a bank account, but it was all frozen. And she had a bank account sitting there, but it was frozen. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I called her. I emailed her. I begged her. I hounded her. Always an excuse.
Always an excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can.
And Mayor really is doing the best she can at that point, scamming my neighbor Sherry and me. I suddenly start wondering if Mayor is possibly scamming any other neighbors in our building.
I offered her the money.
You did?
I did.
Yep, she sure is. Remember attorney Tina Mensch, who signs on early in the fight to get our pool back and becomes good friends with Mayor?
I got that story that her bank accounts were frozen, that her PayPal account was frozen, that she was having these issues, and that it's not really my job to question people's money problems. So I did get the district attorney story and that her accounts were all frozen because of the Pacific Islands stuff.
Yeah. And that's how she tricked you into giving her some money.
Yes. She had said that it was going to cost her like $2,000 to get her PayPal account reactivated. I offered her the money.
You did?
I did. She was my friend and I had it. And I really didn't think anything of, I mean, it's not chump change, but it's...
It's what you do for friends.
It's what you do for friends,
yeah.
Right. She insisted that she would pay me back. She still has not.
And remember that crazy earlier experience Tina has with Mayor? After they both are apparently drugged during a night out at a downtown Los Angeles bar, Tina wakes up the next day with bruises on her forearm and can't remember how or when she got home. And Mayor claims not to remember anything either.
But now looking back, we think...
Pretty sure she drugged me.
And why would she drug you?
So that we could have a bonding experience. It's a trauma bond.
You know what? You fucking nailed it. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yep.
It is a trauma bond. That would get you closer together.
Right.
And this was before the 2000.
Yes, significantly before
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this has made you closer friends quicker. Like if when you go through an experience like that with someone, you're both
right.
drugged, you're both almost potentially raped...
You know, I don't know what happened. I mean, I had a giant bruise on my forearm. It went from, for the audio, I mean, you can describe it, but it went
yeah.
from here to
your entire
here.
Forearm.
Entire forearm.
Black and blue.
Like, black and blue as if I had blocked somebody.
Yeah. Wow. It is a trauma bond. Yeah, I got chills. Yes, mm. that's what she was doing.
At this point, it's becoming so clear Mayor Smith is a master manipulator and a bona fide con artist. I mean, she scams me, and she scams two other neighbors in our building. I start wondering, how many other victims are out there? And so it begins. I systematically start contacting everyone Mayor has ever introduced me to or talked about during the course of our four-year friendship.
I was buying my first house, and we closed in December of 2016.
Remember Michelle Thompson DaCosta, one of Mayor's early psychic clients who was impressed by her spot-on readings? Well, Mayor figures out a clever and caring way to get her hands on Michelle's social security number.
Why was she helping you with your mortgage anyway?
So she told me, guess what? I was a realtor and I owned a mortgage company in Ireland. So I know exactly what they're looking for. I can help you out. And I was like, oh, okay, perfect. I had opened new bank accounts to kind of shift, you know, instead of using a bank account I had since I was 16, using a new bank account, that would be my main account that they got those records out of. And so have her look at it before I sent them in. So I would send them to her. And I remember thinking, the first couple of passes at sending over my bank records to make sure all my documents were together, because I was just like, oh my God, pulling all these documents is becoming too much for me. I was redacting my social security number.
From her eyes?
Yes. And I was also redacting my bank account number. And then the final time she helped me, I didn't. I said, it's Mayor.
Right. It's like your best friend. You trust yep. her.
This is in November of 2016. Michelle sends Mayor her final set of bank records with her social security number clearly visible. And the very next month, a new credit card in Michelle's name gets applied for and approved, unbeknownst to Michelle, and is sent to Michelle's new home that she hasn't even moved into yet. And then someone starts charging up a storm.
In February, I check my mailbox at my new house, and I see a credit card statement. First of all, I've never gotten this credit card. So I open the credit card statement, and it's a PayPal credit card, which if you know her, you know she loved PayPal.
She scammed me through PayPal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bitch loves a PayPal, okay? So I'm like, a PayPal credit card? I would never. I'm like, American Express or nothing. So I look at it. It had all this information, so I decided to try to log on. So I go in, and you know where, like, if you start entering stuff and it's like, you can ask what your, like, username is, stuff will pop up. So it popped up, and it started with an M. And then it was like, at gmail.com or whatever hers ended up as. And so then I called them. Was like, this isn't me, blah, blah, blah. But also looking at the charges, it was notorious, Mayor. It was taxis, Ubers, food.
As soon as Michelle tells me that, I think about all the times Mayor wined and dined my husband and me at fancy restaurants. Was she paying for our meals with someone's stolen credit card?
So how much money total was charged to a credit card that you did not take out but was in your name?
I would say it'd probably be about $2,500, which seems pretty cheap for Mayor.
But I mean, you stopped her. You found out about it.
And that was, I want to say, either the first or second cycle on that. So as soon as I called, they got rid of it.
So Michelle reports Mayor to police and moves on with her life. And her credit card fraud case against Mayor gets added to the pile of millions of credit card fraud cases reported every year in this country and quickly disappears into oblivion. After talking to Michelle, I get a really bad feeling thinking about how many other potential victims are right now getting scammed by Mayor Smith, and how can I stop her? The police clearly aren't doing anything, so I decide I will.
Why did you start a blog? Why was that like your first instinct to go that route?
Well, you know, we're living in the digital age. I wanted to warn people. I wanted to warn people. That was my sole intent, especially with Bob.
Months before our confrontation in that parking garage, Mayor texts me a picture of the guy she's dating, a guy named Bob.
I knew he was an engineer in Newport Beach, and I knew they were dating by the time I confronted her and, you know, she got out of my life. And I knew he was probably, if he wasn't currently getting scammed, he was about to. because I just had a feeling she was probably going to scam him. I don't have Bob's phone number or email address. I don't even have his last name. So I start an online blog to warn Bob. I post his picture, the one Mir had texted me months earlier, asking if I thought he was boyfriend material. He's a good-looking, successful guy. I approve wholeheartedly. So my first blog entry under that picture I post reads, "I know his name is Bob. I know he's an engineer in Newport Beach, and I know he's getting scammed by Mir Smith. If you know him, warn him." She's not that great looking. She doesn't photograph that well. But in person, she's magical. There's a charisma.
Yeah,
right?
She does. She definitely has an aura about her.
Yeah.
She definitely has, like, and I think so much of it just comes down to confidence, you know? Like, she walks the walk. She exudes confidence. And I think that's attractive to a lot of people.
My buddy Evan's right. Mir Smith is very attractive to a lot of people. People like Bob, the engineer in Newport Beach. And while I hope and pray Bob finds my blog and avoids getting scammed by Mir, I have to be realistic. I mean, there are 23 million people living in Southern California, and the chances of Bob actually finding my blog are infinitesimal. And then one day, my phone rings.
Hello?
Yep, it's Bob calling. And he's got a lot to say about his new girlfriend, Mir Smith. Next time on Queen of the Con.
She invited you to the Golden Globes with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston invited her, and she said, "I want to take you as my plus one."
Mayor's latest con is one for the record books.
She was trying to get a hold of his property. She was trying to get her name put on both of the deeds.
And to do that, she needs to wreak havoc.
They were abusing the kids, like this pedophile ring kind of thing.
For exclusive photos and other bonus material, follow at Queen of the Con on Instagram. And if you're enjoying Queen of the Con, tell your friends about it and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Queen of the Con, The Irish Heiress, is a production of AYR Media and iHeartRadio, hosted by me, Jonathan Walton. Executive producers Jonathan Walton for Jonathan Walton Productions and Aliza Rosen for AYR Media. Written by Jonathan Walton. Consulting producer Evan Goldstein. Senior associate producer Eric Newman. Sound design by Baked ZD Media. Mixed and mastered by Elliot Herman. Audio engineering by Elliot Herman. Studio engineering by Chris McMasters. Voice acting performed by Manny Faxas, Jorge Farragut, Carol Marin, and David Teitelbaum. Legal counsel for AYR Media, Gianni Douglas. Executive producer for iHeartRadio, Chandler Mays.